Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems, he's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio WRVA Home Improvement Shop, this is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Welcome, everybody, the day after the summer solstice. Now the days start getting shorter.
Just a little bit, just a teeny, teeny speck.
And for those of you who are on social media, and you know who you are, the ones of you that are posting, oh my goodness, it's only like 28 weeks until Christmas. Stop that! Let me enjoy summer, please. I don't want to wish my life away. Christmas is fine, but I'm okay with Christmas coming like every 3 years. I'd be cool with it. Yeah, just break it down a little bit, but oh, don't be wishing your life away. 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through to the show. I have a metric ton of stuff to talk about. I don't have Jordan this week. I have Paul. Producer Paul is here. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Have you got your you seem to be having some trouble with your screen there.
I'm having trouble with you. I'm doing battle with it this morning, so hopefully we'll get it up and running here.
I hate technology.
It's a blessing and a curse. It really is.
And you know, we have a new sponsor coming on the show in the next hour. He's going to come in and wire my house, so like I can.
There's a lot of different ways you can take that. How exactly is he wiring your house?
I can be able to throw stuff from my phone or computer to my television.
Oh.
That Alexa thing will like operate the TV.
Oh, do you have Alexa?
My wife has one.
Okay.
And that thing creeps me out because you weren't here, but this actually happened about 5 weeks ago. Okay. I get up. I'm out getting ready to go here to the station. And all of a sudden, I hear my wife crying. And she had a really, really bad dream, and it upset her. And so I go in. I said, honey, it's okay. Let's see what's going on. By the way, I gave Jordan this advice because now he's engaged. Okay?
Yes, officially engaged.
Officially
now.
Engaged. A piece of advice I'll give him, I'll give you, never say everything's fine. The trick to it is when your lady is upset, you say, honey, let's let you feel what you got to feel. That's you just say everything's fine, everything's okay. That ain't gonna work. You go another way about it. So she's upset. We're talking it through, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, that Alexa goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." Nobody said anything to that thing.
You don't know what we're talking about. We were talking to you,
yeah, but we're having a moment as a married couple, and it goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." I was ready to chuck the thing out the window.
Oh man. Yeah, talk about ruining the moment altogether.
It just freaked me out.
Yeah.
What else is that thing listening to? Because I know this. When those machines don't understand something, they send that audio to a live person who will then listen to it and try to explain it to the machine. I don't know. But, you know, we're going to do that. I think I'm getting one of those doorbells that has the camera in it. Which I think is probably a good idea. I'm not against that. But no, doing some stuff around the house. I got to gut the kitchen. That's too much going on. But thank you for coming in. I know it's tough coming in on a Saturday when you're not used to it. You cover the morning show from time to time. So
I'm sure I've done mornings enough to where it's, you know, one day out of the week.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
And you can practically walk here because I know where you live.
Essentially, yeah.
Essentially. So that's all good. Yeah. Biggest mistake you and Matt ever made was moving in close. Because every time something went down at the station,
yeah, no, that those days are, well, I don't want to say they're gone. But yeah. They've it's not as frequent nowadays, but yeah.
I actually talked to Maddie the other day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, huh? I cursed him.
There's any number of things.
He turned me on to that show, Designated Survivor.
Oh, yeah. And they just put the new third season on Netflix. I got to watch that.
And,
did you like it?
It's too long. I mean, it's 24. Well, don't get me wrong. It's 24. That's all it is. 24 meets House of Cards.
Well, yeah. Okay. It's 24 meets House of Cards because it's not 24 Kiefer Sutherland.
No, it's
I was kind of disappointed Maggie by Q. that. I was I didn't know if the president was going to be like running around, you know, kicking everybody's butt or something, but clearly he's more of a diplomat.
Yeah, but I swear nobody can say damn it better than Kiefer Sutherland. Nobody on the planet. But season three, it's short. It's 10 episodes. That's all I need out of a show like that because 21 episodes, I forget where anything started and ended. I've forgotten characters long ago.
Is that how long the first season was?
21 episodes.
Really? Wow, I don't remember it being that long. Because I got turned on to it when it first came on, which was on Fox. And then after two seasons, it was done. Then Netflix picked up the third season. But I actually enjoyed it. I liked the first season better than the second season.
Yes.
But I am curious about the third season.
Third season is interesting because now it's on Netflix. So now the cursing is just whatever they can. Cursing.
Right.
You know, the alluded to sex that wasn't going to be on the old show. So there's a lot of people that are going to go, wait a minute.
It's a little more racy than what you saw on TV.
A little bit more gratuitous. But yeah, he seems like he's doing well. But I just texted him like, damn you for turning me onto this show. I just lost a Monday. What the hell?
Yeah. There goes my days.
Honey, didn't you say you were going to clean the kitchen? Oh, yeah. Sorry, baby. I forgot. No. Anyway, we have a ton of stuff to talk about. Last night, I put up on the old Facebook machine that I needed topics, and boy, did people just unload. So that is fantastic. I appreciate it. We'll also take your calls at 345-1140. By the way, working on some guests for next week. Yeah, I'm teasing it out. My friend Lisa is going to be in town. She has been here a couple of times, and she runs the Black Women's Health organization out in Madison, Wisconsin. I love having her on. She's a dear friend from way back in the day. I love the contrast of her and me, okay? Because we're slightly different, but yet very much the same. We basically grew up next to each other. So that, and I am working on Mr. Matt Paxton coming in. He has a new television show. That's all I can say about that. But I finally got him on the phone. I think it was yesterday. It's been a while since he and I talked. Paul, do you ever have those people that just do not pick up the phone no matter what? They just never, ever, ever pick up the phone. Well,
yeah.
So what I finally did is I called him at 7:30. Then I called him at 8:30.
I'm sorry. Wait. In the morning?
In the morning.
Oh.
And then I called him at 8:30. Then I called him at 9:30, and I left the message like, I can do this all day, dude. I went Captain America on him. Like, I can do this all day. He finally called back after the third time. He's busy. He has kids. I get it. But I don't know. I like talking to my friends, and hopefully we'll have him on. 345-1140, that's how you get through to the show. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter if you twit. I have not Instagrammed yet. I don't take enough pictures. And I just don't need any more social media. I've realized how much I look at my phone, and it is kind of disgusting to me. So I'm going to try not to do that as much. This is the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through to the show. And reminding people, hey, there are a lot of motorcycles out on the road. If there's some horrific accident, I saw in the news, like 7 people died. Look, I'm one of those people out there on the bikes, man. Just please take time, look around, pay attention. I'm actually nervous about putting my wife on the bike. I know. Doesn't that sound weird? Back in the day, wouldn't have thought twice about it. Now I'm like, do I want to do this? She's not crazy about it either, so we'll figure that out. So last night I put up on Facebook, please, what do you want me to talk about today? Because sometimes I need a little help. we all need a little help, and I'm not afraid to ask for it. And the response was overwhelming. So I'm going to jump on into it and see what I can find. Marty wrote in. Marty wrote, Richard, talk about something that most people don't give a second thought to and neglect woefully. Mailbox maintenance. I'm a mailman, and it is horrible to have to deal with some of the pieces of junk that people have put out in front of their yard and call a mailbox. Sorry, Marty. I am so very guilty of this. I mean, just as bad as everybody else. I have a mailbox on the front of my house. I don't have one of those freestanding ones. I've thought about it, and probably my mail carrier would be happy if I did. But I'll admit, I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I never think about that thing. I put it in probably 17 years ago. It was not an expensive mailbox. And to be honest with you, it's not in that great of a shape. The hinges are, well, kind of rusty. And I can admit I've scraped my hand more than once trying to dig something out of there. It is important, people, though, to have your mailbox, functioning properly, looking nice, and keeping the numbers on the side of your mailbox and on the front of your house. True story. For those of you that have been with me for a while, there used to be a Costa McCann Volume Dos. And I bought it 10 years ago. Everything was going great. The economy was kicking. My business was rolling. And I had the opportunity to buy, in my neighborhood, a nicer house, a bigger house, and it had a garage. And I did everything I could to keep the place, to keep it, the payments made. Just like everybody else, though, when the bubble burst, it hit me just as hard as it hit everybody else. In fact, it hit me a little differently. Remember when I was running McCann Plumbing Electrical, I tried very hard to stick to what they call service work. You know, I didn't want to do new work. No, there's no money in it. You get beaten about the head and shoulders by contractors. I just did not want to do new work. I like to come in, fix something, get my check, and get out. And so for people that do service, when there is some kind of financial bubble, we're usually like the last ones to get hit. Because the people that do new work, well, that kind of falls away first. And then people that wanted to replace things in their house, that comes in, you know, that goes away. But the people that fix stuff, you know, can you make my water heater last a little bit longer? Yeah, I think I can do that. We were the last ones to take the hit. But when it hit hard. And so I, like many people, and I tell you what, I drove myself nuts about it. I stayed up late at night about it. I felt like I had just failed miserably. And I hadn't. It was just one of those things. In fact, probably is a good thing now. It changed me as a person. Now, one of the reasons I bring this all up is I remember it was the house sat on two lots, which was 1300 and 1302. And I never thought anything of it until I get a ticket in my mailbox from the city of Richmond. They sent me a ticket. And I'm like, why is there a ticket? And it was because I did not have the numbers on the front of my house. I know what my house is. I know what number it is. Doesn't appear that the Chinese delivery guy ever really had a problem with it, but it was illegal for me not to have that on there. And I tried to figure out why. Why? Because it did really. And then I realized fire, rescue, mail, any of those things. If they can't see your numbers, that could be precious time that they do not get to you. So, I, being in the middle of, well, just broke, and could not afford to go and buy numbers. I was more worried about buying, you know, dinner. I went outside to one of the columns in the front of my house with a Sharpie marker, and I wrote the numbers on the house. It didn't last very long. Now, it failed rather spectacularly in a couple of months, but hey, at least I knew I had to do that. Now, on my new house, I make sure the numbers are very there, and I'm actually thinking about getting one of those little signs to go out front. Because, I mean, even for me, when I'm driving around, whether it's to do work or maybe I'm doing something with real estate, when I can't see the numbers of your house, it really does become a pain. I mean, Jordan's house, I had GPS. I knew exactly where I was supposed to be going. I couldn't figure it out. It took me an extra 3 minutes to find Jordan's place when I went out to see him. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you this. One, if your mailbox is old and ratty, time to replace it. You know, you don't necessarily need something with a lock on it, though I know quite a few people that do. Today, with the amount of identity theft, I think it would probably be a good idea. I've been fortunate. Nobody's stolen anything from me yet, although I will say I was very happy the other day. Hey, Paul, you're a fan of the Captain America movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Remember the very first one, the Captain America First Avenger, when he decides he's going to dive into combat and he wears the helmet with the goggles on the top of it?
Yeah.
Okay. I just ordered that helmet.
For riding
my motorcycle.
Your motorcycle.
Yes, I got the Captain America helmet with the goggles. I am so excited.
Wow. That's dedication.
What?
Is it the actual, so you're going to like wear the goggles too?
Oh, yeah. I used to wear goggles all the time.
Did you get a matching pair for the wife?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to actually buy her.
Would she wear them even if you did?
Yes, she would.
Oh, okay.
Look, her dream, okay, and I just have failed to do it yet, but I will probably buy her one for Christmas. You know those big inflatable T-Rex costumes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Wants one in the worst way.
Really?
She thinks every time she sees one of those videos, she thinks it is absolutely the funniest thing she's ever seen. I mean, we were working on a video because you're a fan of Chick-fil-A.
Of course.
Okay. And you know about the Chick-fil-A herd.
The herd?
The herd. The herd are the people that dress up in the cow outfits.
Oh, okay.
And go to events.
Sure.
She got she signed up to try to become part of the herd.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is she part of the herd?
No, she actually, just because of timing and her real job. Here's the funny thing. Being part of the herd would actually pay better per hour than what she does.
Wow.
But I was actually, we were writing up a video, you know, doing all the storyboards. We were going to create a video called Your Inner Udder and about her dream of becoming a Chick-fil-A cow. It's going to be like a mini documentary, but we got to find her a cow outfit, and she's all about it. Tell you, dude, marry somebody that makes you laugh. It's absolutely the best. But no, I'm going to buy her, for my wife, I'm buying a full face helmet. And I want to make sure she wears a leather jacket and the whole nine yards. I mean, there's not a lot of protection when you're on a motorcycle, so any little bit you can get helps. So that's where I am with that. But now I'm wearing the half helmet. Captain America, baby. 345-1140. That's how you get through to the show. So thanks to Marty, I'm going to say, if your mailbox is old, junked up, or just garbage, replace it. Mailboxes are not expensive. And I know I got to do it. I'll take care of it so whoever delivers my mail, well, you'll have a nicer mailbox to put it in. That's it's weird. My mail carrier, he wears his phone right on his chest, and he and another buddy talk all day long. I mean, every time I see him, his phone's on, and he's chatting with the same guy. There's not a human being on this planet I've got enough to say to talk to all day long. But they just do it. They just chat, chat, chat. This is the Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Welcome to the Home Show, 345-1140. That's how you get through to the show. Brian in Goochland.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. What's up?
Hey, I got a question about gutter guards.
Sure.
I've got a really steep pitch roof. the wonderful internet has all kinds of information. what would you recommend for a steep pitch roof, if at all?
I've got a buddy of mine, and he's hopefully going to start advertising here on the show soon. There's so many different ones. I mean, you've got your gutter helmet, which you've heard of for years.
Right.
Then you've got your leaf guard of Greater Richmond. They still sponsor stuff around here at the station, which is, they're a fantastic product. But my thing is about the steeper the pitch of the roof, you want something that's, how do I put this, is going to take the water, not just shoot it off the side, off the top of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd probably recommend more like a, how do I put this? It's more like a grate that goes over the gutters if you're going to have that steep of a roof. But you got to make sure that what you put in has a small enough opening that water can get into it, but leaves can't. And
right. So you're not talking about the fine mesh.
No.
The micro mesh.
No. You know, and I don't, I've seen them. I know them, okay? Very nice people. The product works, don't get me wrong, but it is pretty funny when I was at the home show and they had just set up, and that product has to get wet before it starts taking the water. So as soon as they turned it on, it came down, hit the dry mesh, and went shooting out into the hallway. It was pretty funny. But yeah, I'd look for more like a grating, a grate. You want to email me, RichardMcCann@hotmail.com. Maybe I can put you in touch with somebody.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, Brian, go forth and home improve.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you. Yeah, I got to do something at my house. It is awful. My gutters, they are just shot. There's no cleaning them anymore. They are coming off the house because I'm pretty sure I got a little water came back and caused a bubble. That's what happens if you do not clean your gutters. There's two places for the water to go. I say this all the time. It can go up and over, hopefully, but that's still dumping water right next to your foundation or your basement, which is what I've got. Or it comes back into the house and ruins the ceilings and walls inside your home. I've seen that too. I had a guy, he called me up looking around his place, and he had no water pipes in his attic, nothing. And he had this big wet spot. It's like, when's the last time you cleaned your gutters? I do it all the time. Well, you didn't do it enough. That's where I'm at with that. So clean them. Get some good gutter guards. There's a bunch of them, different ones out there. You know, find the one that fits your house, fits your needs, and, well, is guaranteed not to stop up. You know, there's a lot of companies out there that say, we guarantee they will never stop up. Well, what if it does? We'll come and clean it. Okay, make sure you're going to do it, because I'm not going to do it myself. And if you have pine trees, well, that can get even more hinky, I guess the proper way to put it. 345-1140, that's how you get through to the show. I asked people last night what they would like me to talk about, and several people asked me about this. And yeah, I can talk about it. Someone said, Richard, charcoal, wood versus pellet grill smokers. Have both, kind of on the fence for both, but now have much more stuff to do. The idea is set and forget till time is up. We'll be listening as usual, building a handicap ramp for a family with the church up in Doswell. Love the show, brother. Thank you, Chuck. All right. Grilling, smoking, and the like. That is really a matter of time and effort and what you want to do. I have them all. I have a charcoal / wood grill / smoker. I've used it as a smoker plenty of times. I have a gas grill, which I'm not keen on. I need a new one. And I have an electric smoker, all of which work. All of which really does come down to how much time do you want to spend on it. I like the charcoal. I've had the charcoal for as long as I've been doing this radio show. I mean, it's been there forever. And cooking with charcoal is fine. I like it, but it is really, really labor intensive. I mean, it takes forever for it to get hot. And then you got to really babysit it. And if you want to use it as a smoker, you got to really sit there and play with the air all the time and play with every other little nook and cranny of it. And do I add more wood? Do I add more chips? It's kind of a pain. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if for someone starting out in the whole, you know, I want to smoke food world, if I would do that. Okay. Josh in Mechanicsville.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Josh.
Hey, I was just calling about this gutter guard systems. We put a lot of that stuff up. There's a one that's pretty economical that they sell, you know, at some of the supply houses like ABC or, you know, Allied. You know, some of the, it's called the Bully Dog system. It's pretty economical, and it works pretty good. And I mean, some of my guys put it on our house and just tried it out, and it works pretty good. It's, you know, a whole lot more economical than some of the ones out there. You know, I've had companies come quote us to put the gutter guards up in excess of like $12,000. You know, I mean, that's pretty insane. You can get, you know, gutters put on your whole entire house copper for that.
Wow.
You know, the biggest house in Richmond.
$12,000. That's nuts.
And then I've been told, well, we've got to make money. You know, so and it's just, for me, that's comical. I mean, I've been in construction my whole life. I've got a degree from East Carolina in construction management, but sometimes that's what the homeowner wants. So you just sit there and be quiet and let them get what they want, you know?
But, yeah. I mean, it is,
you know, hard. They're out there. Those things are out there.
And the, you know, sometimes there's people, they just get it in their head and there's no turning around. Once they get it in their head, you're just like, okay, sir, you go, it's your house. You do what you want to do. But, what'd you call it? Bully guard?
It's called Bully Dog, like the bulldog system, Bully Dog.
Okay.
And they're pretty economical. They come in like a 6-foot section. They're fairly easy to put up. You can get, you know, you can hire any carpentry company or, you know, somebody that, you know, that installed gutters to come put those up. And you know, for a 6-foot section, I believe you can get them for, you know, around like $6 or $7 for a 6-foot section of it.
That's
and then
not
you
bad.
Have to have somebody install them, but it's not bad. And they go up pretty quick.
I've seen some stuff that was like $8 a foot.
Oh yeah, some of the guys charge installed like $26 a foot.
Woo! So. Okay, no. All right, well, man, yeah. Josh, I appreciate it.
This is all over the board. That's like one of them gray areas where a lot of people get taken advantage of on gutter guards, in my opinion. So.
It does happen. Anyhow. All right, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Take it easy.
You bye-bye. Too. 345-1140. Who's on to Sean? Okay, Sean in Chesterfield.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
I got a question for you. When we're having a new construction build, and we were trying to figure out how important it is to get a house and home inspector before we close on this thing, because we're seeing a lot of problems already.
Very important. In fact, there is a whole new industry now, which is home inspectors that come in after the new construction is done. It's a whole new certification. I've got to take the class. I'm not looking forward to it. But, yeah, I mean, if you know, your building inspectors come in, they inspect the plumbing, electrical, and everything like that. But it doesn't hurt to have a third party. I mean, pay the extra, what, $350, $400?
Right. Because it seems in the new neighborhood that we're having, everybody who is going through the closing process after everything's done and closed, you're at the bottom of the barrel and taking things and getting things fixed after the fact.
Oh, so no. Yeah, you want to get everything. You want to get that punch list done before you close.
Right, right. Okay.
All right, Sean.
We're just trying to make sure. Thank you very much, sir. You have a good morning.
I plan on it. 345-1140. Yeah, that's a whole new industry. Okay. I was talking to somebody the other day because there is now a license to get up be a home inspector. Didn't used to be a license. Now there is. And I tell you what, the amount of hoops you have to jump through are ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. And I'm not a big fan of a lot of the home. I'm not saying they're all. I'm saying a lot. A lot of home inspectors. I'm not crazy about their work. They tend to focus on things that don't matter because they don't have the knowledge about things that do. Not a lot of them were contractors first. That's okay. And I don't expect people to be, you know, to be as knowledgeable as Charlie McCann. Okay. Those of you that, you know, those of us that got to work with Charlie McCann, he had all the cards. So you got a pretty broad education. A lot of people don't. You know, they only have what's in that book. But if you're building a house, one, God bless you. I wouldn't do that for anything in this world. I don't want to. I do not want to go through that headache. And two, to have somebody come in and go through the house with a fine-tooth comb before you close. Because, you know, once you closed, you closed. Getting them back in there is going to be a real pain. My name is Richard McCann. This is The Home Show. Richard McCann on News Radio WRVA, 345-1140 is the phone number. Robin.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robin.
We had a leaking toilet, so we switched out the thingamajig, whatever it's called, and we fixed the leak, but now it's making a funny sound like every minute or so.
All right. Is there any chance you could be any more vague?
Well, we switched out the whole thing that controls the clapper type thing.
I'm sorry. Let me do this right. Okay, when you said you had a leaking toilet, you mean it was leaking from the tank into the bowl?
Yes.
All right, so you replaced the flapper.
We did.
Okay. And now it's doing what?
It's making a funny noise, like every 2 minutes or so.
Can you make the noise for me?
No.
Okay. So it sounds like it's filling, is what you're saying.
Not filling so much. It's just maybe it's calling for something and not receiving it.
All right. Well, here's what I want you to do. Do you have any food coloring in the house?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to grab some green food coloring because it matches my eyes.
Okay.
I want you to squirt that into the tank.
Okay.
And walk away.
All right.
Come back like an hour or so later and open up the bowl. If the bowl has green in it, that means the chain is too tight on the flapper. And so you're getting this microscopic little, you know, little bit of water running down in there. And after a while, that's going to make the fill valve want to fill just a tiny little bit.
Okay.
But that's the best way you can do it.
All right.
All right, because probably, more likely, the chain's just too tight. People make that mistake all the time.
Okay. And then just a thought on the gutters. We got the flip gutters, and we love them.
That's out of Petersburg, the guy that created those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was just advertising at the mall, so we signed up, and it's been great.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that like them. But he designed them, and I think he's the only person that has them.
Wow. Yeah, so, you can just flip your gutters like what, two or three times a year, and you're done.
Yeah, you still have to clean up a mess, though.
Well, if it's in the fall, you got to rake up the leaves anyway.
Rake up the leaves? I don't
know. Well, you know, the leaves and stuff that get in the gutter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You just flip them out.
All right. Well, I will give them I'll look into those, too, because I got to do something about my house.
All right.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye. 345-1140. I'm totally excited about my house because they said they're going to come and clean the streets in front of my house. They haven't done that in a year. I was flabbergasted. I'm like, what? It's been a year. And it's gross in front of my house. So I'm pretty excited about that. 345-1140. That's how you get through to the show. People asking me about what type of barbecue to buy. Charcoal, wood, pellets, you know, gas. What do you want to do? Here's my thoughts. How much time you got? And that's not being flippant. It's pretty important. To do a rack of ribs on charcoal with wood, you're looking at 3 hours. I know plenty of people say, no, I'll smoke mine for 10 hours straight. I don't need to. Honest God, 3 hours, you're good. A turkey, about 3 hours on a smoker. Fantastic. The thing is, if you're going to do charcoal with wood, you have to be on it. You have to be there constantly because the temperature will fluctuate so much. I smoke everything at about 220 tops. I don't go any hotter than that. And I want to get that, you know, that smoke all the way down to the bone if I can. But honestly, 3 hours. Charcoal, you're going to be busy. Now, last year, I went because I was going to smoke a turkey. And I went to Big Orange. I was at Big Orange to pick up charcoal and chips. And it was expensive. And then I noticed that they had an electric smoker. Never played with one before. I mean, it's pretty simple. You got a thing down at the bottom, an element. You put the chips and everything in there and just walk away, set it and forget it. That was easier. I liked that. That was pretty good. Maintaining temperature was a lot easier, but here's the thing. Those electric smokers don't work very well in the wintertime. Summertime, great. Wintertime, not so much. Hard to maintain the temperature. Chuck and Glen Allen.
I like when you're talking about food and smoking, but you're right about in the wintertime, the electric smoker, it's a hard temperature to get up to, but it regulates the heat a lot better than the propane.
This is true.
The propane fluctuates too much. And these Traeger ones, I haven't had any experience, but they're so darn expensive. But I do like the electric a lot better than the propane. Now, you could turn your regular grill into a smoker.
I have
to indirect heat.
I've done that. Still kind of a pain, though.
What I do is, you can only smoke meat for so long. What I do is I smoke it for about an hour, hour and a half, and then wrap it up in aluminum foil and let it sit there. But what it does is it actually breaks it down, and it just becomes tender after like 3 hours. Like you said, 3 hours is long enough.
3 hours is long enough.
Doing a brisket for...
Exactly. I mean, a brisket might go a little bit longer. I can understand the wrapping. You do not boil food, though. Anybody that boils their stuff and then puts it into a smoker, that's just morally wrong.
You're taking all the taste out of the meat. It's just this bland thing. You know? I mean, you got to season the heck out of it, but no, do not boil it. All right, buddy. Have a good day.
Later. 345-1140. Okay, you heard what he says. He's right. The electric smokers are nice, but in the wintertime, they don't work very well. Now, the last one he brought up is the one I want. Okay, I want a big green egg. But I have, and they are very expensive. But, you know, these Traegers, you know, you saw them on late night TV. Now they're everywhere. I've got a buddy of mine that has one. And, I mean, he just set, forget, and walk away. I think that's absolutely brilliant. There's plenty of barbecue purists out there. There's, like, pellets. You ain't smoking if you're using pellets. Here's the thing. If it tastes good, who cares? But there's one thing we're not bringing up, and I'm going to now. And please don't shoot the messenger. It's cheaper just to stop someplace and get a rack of ribs. Once you've bought the charcoal, bought the wood, bought your seasoning, bought the ribs, and spent 3 or 4 hours prepping, cooking, and everything, it is so much cheaper for me to stop by one of my favorite barbecue joints and just say, yeah, I'll take a rack. A lot cheaper. Takes up less space. And I know that sounds terrible because, you know, I love to cook. I really do. I love smoking meat. I think it's great. But the thing is, at the end of the day, I can only eat so much smoked meat. I'm not in the, I don't have a taste for it as much as I used to. And, well, like I said, just cheaper to buy it. So I know plenty of people are going to be mad at me for that one. I don't care. 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through to the home show right here on News Radio WRVA. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. If you miss any of the show, you can go to WRVA.com. Download podcasts of the show that you can take me wherever you go. And please, if you are one of my fans that that uses the podcast, tell your friends. I have people ask me all the time, where do I find it? It's right there. Turn on your friends to the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to hour number dos of the Home Show on News Radio WRBA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. Welcome, everybody, to an absolutely spectacular day in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Summer is upon us, and I am going to take advantage of it every chance I get, and I think you should too. 345-1140. That's how you get through to the show. I'm joined by Paul, the producer today. How are you doing, Paul? Are you well, sir?
I'm well, yes.
Okay. I mean, I noticed we still haven't gotten this call screen thing working.
No, right, no. Efforting as much as we can, but no, still are low dice.
Any chances you're heading down to what's going to become Arthur Ashe Boulevard for the renaming today? And I mean, I know you're a big sports guy. I don't know if you're a tennis guy.
But yeah, no, not really. I know of Arthur Ashe, but yeah, so I'm not as up on my tennis knowledge.
Well, after the bottom of the hour news, Mr. Dennis Edwards is going to come in here, and he's going to edumacate me because it's before my time. You know, Arthur Ashe was way before my time, and it's important to the city. So we'll get some information on that. 345-1140. Let me see. I put up last night a bunch of questions. What people wanted me to talk about today, and I got quite a few different responses. Valerie wrote in, and I actually did this one a couple of weeks ago, but it's worth revisiting. She said, Richard, signs of a stroke, the best reaction is an overreaction. Signs of a stroke, I've actually posted this on my page a couple of times, and I think we put it on WRVA.com. I'll double check that. If it's not there, we'll have it up later. Confusion is a big chunk of it. Lack of focus. These are all signs of a stroke. Drooping of the face or one side of the body. All of these are signs of a stroke. And again, one of the ways you can end up with a stroke is if you do not take care of your blood pressure. Our friend Mr. Kirk Akey had one I guess we're going on week three now. He's doing much better, by the way. Everybody that was wondering, the speech is coming back. Everything else is fine. He can move and dump and dance and giggle and whatever, but he was having a little bit of trouble talking, and they said that could take some time to get back. But yeah, if you notice anything, call 911 immediately. And as I've said a couple of times, any cell phone will dial emergency. If it's charged, it doesn't matter. You found it in a drawer. Forgot you even owned it, but it still had enough charge, it can still dial 911. You don't know the code to get into it, doesn't matter. There's an emergency button. Hit it. I am very, very happy that my house is five from a fire department. I'm thrilled. Makes me so happy because they can get there with the quickness. And because of my blood pressure, I guess I'm at risk. I don't think about it, but I am 47. All kinds of weird stuff starts happening when you get older. Let me see, Richard. Plumbing projects the average homeowner can accomplish. Easy. Replacing a faucet. Replacing a faucet and replacing a toilet. These are two projects that a homeowner can do. I will say the faucet probably takes a little bit more skill than putting in a toilet because you need what's called a basin wrench. That's the whole thing. Now, if you don't know what that is, it is a long handle with a C-shaped jaw on the very top of it that flips over. And what it's designed to do is you cannot reach your hands up behind a sink and get the pieces that are holding it together unscrewed. I've tried, I've managed, I've frustrated myself. Basin wrench makes all the difference in the world. You don't need a fancy one because this is not a tool you're going to use often. Faucets come with supply tubes already on them and connected. Some of them, they just screw into place with your fingertips. It's really not that hard to change out a faucet. Toilet, only reason people don't change out their own toilets is because they're heavy. Pretty sure. That's about it. It's heavy. Other than that, I hate to tell you this, but I have been known to install a toilet with nothing more than my multi-tool. That's it. No other tools. Just brought that in. It's a matter of, well, you bolt your tank to the bowl. That's two nuts. You bolt the toilet to the floor. Two nuts. Connect the water. That's about it. I would advise, if you're going to do it, get a nice thick wax ring. I like the ones with the neoprene in the center of them. They'll say they're guaranteed for 5 years. I don't know anybody that's going to save the box. But at least I got a better chance of that thing staying put. And I use the fiberglass closet bolts. It's very important to me that I use those for the simple reason. I mean, I can use the brass ones. I don't understand why anybody does. It's not like they're cheaper. Most of the time, they come with a steel nut, which means it will rust. Oh, yeah, it'll rust because guys miss and splash. The nice thing about the fiberglass ones is they never corrode, and they lock into place, so it's easier for me to set the toilet and know I didn't just cut the wax ring in half. So if you were looking for plumbing projects, Dwan, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, putting in a faucet or a toilet. I'd say changing out your water heater, but that's a little bit more intensive, and it involves electricity, a lot of it. I don't want anybody getting shocked. How about the best way to properly install a gun safe without having it fall through your floor? Ooh. All right, well, that's a little bit more intense. We'll discuss that in a few minutes. I don't want to go into that one because gun safes are heavy. Mine was like 600 pounds. Ugh. If I ever get another one, I'm paying somebody to bring it in and take it out. That's just it. I'm not doing it myself again. I hurt myself pretty good. Real good. Trying to move that gun safe. Never want to do it again. But you do need to make sure it's supported. My name is Richard McCann. You can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Don't forget to download the radio.com app. That way you can take the show wherever you go. And if you miss any of it, don't worry. You can go to WRVA.com, click on my smirking face, and download podcasts of the show that go back over a year. This, my friends, is The Home Show. WRVA, welcome to The Home Show. 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through with all your questions, queries, conundrums, riddles. Let me know what's going on in your world. Paul, you're younger than me by a lot. Were you a Pokemon kid? Did you play the
Pokemon? Oh, no.
You didn't play the Pokemon?
No, not at all.
No. How about the Pokemon Go?
No. No, 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 no. Okay. I did not get swept up in that fad. My roommate got caught up in it big time, to the point where he would literally, like, if we were driving somewhere, he'd make me take another turn just so he could collect them. It drove me nuts.
My buddy Charlie Inch still plays.
I never understood it. I just never got into it.
Well, I mean, I've followed it. I mean, I've heard of people walking into poles.
Yeah.
Walking into each other.
Yeah.
Walking off a cliff. Straight up. No, yeah. California.
No, I believe it.
Fell off a cliff.
Just walking around and trying to find these dumb things. Yeah. People went in droves, too.
But you know where they still play a lot of Pokemon?
I have a feeling.
Down south in Florida.
It happens in Florida.
Florida man arrested while attempting to catch Pokemon. The Pokemon craze continues, and for most, it's just a fun way to pass the time and have some adventure. Does it continue? Is it really that big of a thing? I know it was a thing. I don't know if it's still a thing. Yeah, not really. It's most likely not a good idea to bring an 8-ball of cocaine with you along with over 5 pounds of THC oil and an elbow of weed. A man in Hillsborough County is facing drug charges after a deputy caught him playing Pokemon Go in a closed Tampa park. Jonathan Ortiz, 29, was found in Beacon Meadows Park after hours by a Hillsborough deputy. A Hillsborough deputy observed Ortiz had marijuana in plain view. I also noticed Ortiz was actively trying to catch a wild Pokemon. Like there's tame Pokemon. A search of Ortiz's vehicle yielded 3.5 grams of cocaine, 5.5 pounds of THC oil, and 1 pound of Mary J. Wona. Yeah, I don't know if he caught his Pokemon, but they definitely caught him, and he's going to the Pokey. Huh? You go to the Pokey. All right. Maybe that one wasn't quite as good as I expected.
I'm still trying to figure out what exactly you were going for there. The Pokey.
Yeah, that's the jail. It's an old term for jail.
I've never heard that one.
Very deep southern, old-timey, like 40s. Well, yeah,
that would definitely
reference.
Explain why I've never heard it.
Yeah, you know, you didn't watch a lot of old movies and cartoons when I, you know, that's.
Well, no, that's not true, but I still never heard that.
Okay, well. Somebody out there gets it.
Somebody, I'm sure, does.
You know, one of my listeners, they know what I'm talking about. So
it was a good.
It was okay.
Try.
It was.
It wasn't one of your better. Choices.
Not one of my better ones, though. I am.
You can't be 100% all the time.
You know what? You really can't. I'm looking forward to doing stand up again soon.
Do we have a date for that?
We do not have a date, but no. See, here's the thing. I'm one of those people. I want to build it and then watch the people come. That's what I do. You build it and people will come, just like Field of Dreams. But 90% of the people out there, when you talk to them, the first thing, any idea you have, the first thing they say is, who's going to pay for it? And so there's not a lot of comedy in Richmond. So I am currently in talks with two venues in Shaco Bottom, of all places. That are interested in starting a comedy night. So, you know what? I'll build it and see who will come. Let's see what happens there. But, yes, I enjoyed it thoroughly. When I was talking to my buddy Matt Paxton, he tried it recently. He wants to do it again. So I'll grab Kent and see what we can make happen. I don't know. I think it would be great. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And I'll say this, people. Life is short. If you've always thought about doing something and you haven't done it, do it. When I was a little kid, if you asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I wanted to be funny. I wanted to be a comedian. Where I lost that, I don't know. Why I didn't pursue it, couldn't tell you. I mean, like I said, there's not a lot of comedy in Richmond. And I think a big chunk of that desire was satiated by me getting this job right here. But if you life is too short not to grab the bull by the horns and go for it. I got a buddy of mine, he's turning 50 next year. He's trying to do 50 things in 50 weeks before he turns 50. I'm trying to get him to skydive. He won't do it. 345-1140 is the phone number. Richard McCann, can you talk about whole house steam humidifiers better than portable units? Depends on what you're doing. I mean, honestly, if you're running your air conditioning, it's supposed to be doing all the job of dehumidifying your house. If you are, if you've still got a huge amount of humidity in your home, even with the AC running, I think you've got a bigger problem than just the AC. I think you probably have a moisture problem somewhere underneath the house, which is most of the time. Most of the time, I'm finding wet crawl spaces everywhere. Or you have something going on inside your home. So definitely, I would have that checked out. As far as whole house dehumidifiers, they make them. I mean, Bremac can install one for you. It's funny how some places have humidifiers put in, some have dehumidifiers put in. I don't need either one of those right now. So that's okay for me. Let me see. Richard, talk about Carl Goldman and his efforts to get the citizens the real story behind the Coliseum deal. I ain't touching that with a 10-foot pole. I follow Paul. I know Paul Goldman. I haven't talked to him in years, but I do know him. And, yeah, the whole Coliseum downtown with the mayor and, like, they're not releasing documents about the financing of it. And Paul is doing some stuff. I can't keep track of all of it, but I don't see a new Coliseum in our future anytime soon. I'm okay with the idea of it. I mean, our Coliseum's okay. Just doesn't get used. And I don't know if this is a cause and effect thing. I mean, you know, I just said build it and they will come, but will they? We don't have our arena football team anymore. We don't have hockey. Very few concerts come to Richmond for the Coliseum, though it was proof when Garth Brooks came here. What, he sell out 3 concerts? But again, that's Garth Brooks. Would I like to see? I don't know. I'm kind of okay with the idea of refurbishing the one we got. But if there's nothing coming in there, I mean, let's face it, there's no more circus. Well, you got ice capades. It's about it. No, I can't. I would much rather see us put money into doing things along our waterfront. I said it before. I'll say it again. I want the X Games. Wouldn't that be awesome, Paul? Get the X Games come in here.
That would be cool.
We got everything we need for the X Games. Put it right down there on Browns Island. Got the water. Got all the space in the world. X Games. Or at least the trials. That would be something.
Yeah, at least some part of the X. That would be that. I think that'd be very interesting.
I'll talk to the mayor about it. My name is Richard McCann, and this is the Home Show, News Radio WRVA. Richard McCann on News Radio WRVA, 345-1140 is the phone number. That's how you get through to the show. Hey, remind everybody, there is a lot of hoodly-hoo going on over there at the Boulevard today because they are renaming the Boulevard after one of Richmond's favorite sons, Mr. Arthur Ashe himself. And I am joined by my dear friend and news aficionado, Dennis Edwards. How are you, sir?
Well, you know, I'm doing well this morning, Richard. How are you today?
I'm doing, I forgot to take my meds this morning, so my shoulder is killing me. But other than that, I'm fine.
You're bearing the pain extremely well, young man.
That's okay.
I don't know what to say about you.
A crybaby. My parents made tough stuff. I asked you to come in here, okay, because of two things. One, there is a slight age difference between us, okay?
Yes.
And being an African-American man of your age, you saw some really interesting stuff before I was born.
Probably.
Okay. And I hate to say this, I don't know much about Arthur Ashe.
Well, Arthur Ashe is a phenomenal individual. He was an icon in international tennis. He comes out of the Battery Park area of Richmond. His family was over in that area, and Battery Park was a bastion, an area where a number of African Americans, in the middle class African Americans who were college educated as well as those who were not, lived in this area, and it was an incubator for a lot of things. Incubator for Virginia Union University.
Mm-hmm.
When I came here, I went to school at Virginia Union in 1974. And Ashe was at the height. He was coming on strong.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I was two. All right, so well, I missed. Yeah, you might, I missed a lot of that.
You might have been concerned about other things too, which would be okay. I think you would have been. I mean, food would be real good for you. But yeah, the thing is that at that time, it was phenomenal. It was a lot of it had to do with his demeanor. He was a very warm individual, very intelligent man. He played the game at a very high level, and the people who taught him were people who were over at Virginia Union, who were part of the community and the broader area. The Battery Park area was a major hub of African-American middle-class values as well as upper-middle-class values, the whole thing. And so he came out of the community. He played with dignity. He was a calming influence. When he went to the U.S. Open in Wimbledon, it just literally opened up tennis to everybody.
Now, I will say this, because the U.S. Open is done in New York.
Yep.
And when I lived back there in the 90s, if I said Virginia, and if I said Richmond.
That's it.
There were quite a few people who said, Arthur Ashe.
They put him, he was major. And not only that, he put Richmond on a map in that regard, but Richmond's always had a very unique position, historically, nationally as well. And but I think what wound up happening with him was he literally stepped into this with a sense of dignity at a key point in the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
He was major in all of this. He was going to places no one else had gone. And I would put him right there in the similar category with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, we were discussing that earlier. I know a little bit more about Muhammad Ali than I do Arthur Ashe.
Yeah.
I mean, and Ali was, he passed away. I was doing this show.
Yeah.
The morning that he passed away. And, you know, my news guy, my producer at the time, big time sports kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you don't understand. This guy could not go anywhere in the world and not be recognized. That was Ali. I'm getting the feeling Arthur Ashe was very similar.
He was very similar, just cut from a different cloth. They were two very different human beings.
Right.
But the reality was that he was able to move in a number of circles worldwide. He had relationships in Europe. He had them in Africa, just like Muhammad Ali did. But he came out of the Richmond African-American middle class. And one of the things that people don't realize a lot of times is that the African-American middle class and what we would perceive as the white middle class had the same values.
Yes.
When I was coming up in Suffolk, Virginia, we all had the same values. Our parents didn't talk to each other because it was the heels of segregation. But we all went to high school and we got along well because we were raised the same way. Hard work, education, you know, whatever you were going to do, you had to get the books and you had to get a job when you were a young guy and you had to cut the grass. And, you know, all those things were all part of it. So the uniqueness, Arthur Ashe represented a great deal to the African-American community, but he also represented a great deal to the Richmond community because he was of Richmond.
Yes.
And about Richmond. Yeah.
I mean, I always feel at Richmond, I think we got a leg up on a lot of these other cities as far as the way we get along. Sure, there's areas that's like, I mean, where he grew up over the, that part
Battery
of north,
Park.
That north side, there was a time there.
Well, life was not. Well, during the Civil Rights Movement, there were a lot of dicey places. I mean, you know, that's never been one of them. There were certain parts nearby. And those areas began to deteriorate after a lot of things, after people began to move away and that kind of thing. When a group of people like in my age group got up and got out and started getting jobs away from the area. And it changed the dynamic. But the staple in that community is Virginia Union University. A lot of those people who were my professors lived in the neighborhoods around. And we would go over to Battery Park, play a little tennis, and they'd invite you over to their houses. And, of course, I was grateful because anybody who would feed me at that time was one of my blessed friends.
Yes. I don't think ramen existed back then.
No. But, you know, he did that. He stood, in contrast to Ali, he stood as a calming, clear reflection of a part of the African-American community that was just as determined, but nowhere near as vocal, if you will. They simply function within the political sphere. They function within the mainstream, and they all had relationships with the broader community. And I will tell you this, Richard, a lot of folk don't understand that even during segregation, the blacks and whites in cities like Richmond and Suffolk and had relationships people didn't know about. They were friends. They were buddies.
Did he have to go through some of the stuff? I think of like Jackie Robinson. You know, I mean,
yeah.
But that was a lot earlier.
Oh, it was a much more hostile world, but not a nice one for him.
Right.
He went through a lot of those things, but I think what happened was with him, he internalized it and he processed it differently than a lot of other people do. You have different ways people react to it. I mean, you know, when I came along in the mid-70s and stuff and we were integrating television in the Richmond area, there were a lot of hostile people around. I mean, you know, but you had to understand who they were and what they were dealing with. You can't always react to someone who doesn't like you.
Oh, no, you can't.
Yeah.
If you react to everything, then you're not acting, you're reacting to all of life.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
And, you are.
But, you know, I saw an interview. I didn't realize Arthur Ashe's brother is still alive.
Yes, he is.
And did you know, I found this absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. He did another tour in Vietnam so that Arthur didn't have to go.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
I mean,
that level of familial mm-hmm. love and respect. I'm sitting there staring at the television, staring at my wife. I'm like, I don't think I've got a single brother that would do that for me. I love them all, but whoa.
People gathered around him. They found ways of being, you know, Dr. Watson, I believe, was one of his. He was our Spanish teacher over at Virginia Union University, and he was a member of Moore Street Baptist Church. And Dr. Watson, I believe, was one of the people who helped train Arthur Ashe. And he belonged to the community. And in a very real sense, he belonged to the African-American community, but he belonged to the broader community. Because there were a lot of people out there who were supporting him, and they could rally around him. I mean, he was in places that Ali did not have access to.
Whoa.
When you're talking about the upper echelons of tennis, international tennis, that's a whole other world
of
people.
You know, and that's the European.
There you go.
I mean, because as big as tennis is here in Europe, it's huge.
Iconic. Yes, it is.
And I mean, it's one of the few sports I can watch.
Well, you know, I have wanted to. Last night, I decided to go over to Bird Park and hang around and see. There were some activities over there, and there were people playing tennis. So, you know, I got the bug. I'm going to get myself a racket and go out there and hit a little bit more. I used to do it when I was in college, but you and I both know that's longer ago than I really want to talk about.
It's true. And
yeah.
I guess, and I know, I don't know if I'm bringing this up is right or not, but I mean, he was one of the first people. What killed him was a blood transfusion.
Right.
Okay.
That's not a bad thing to bring up, Richard. That's not a bad thing. It was. He did not get AIDS the way some people may want to think that
right,
he did.
Right, right, right.
He got it in a transfusion, and he handled it with dignity. He didn't come out and talk about it until it began to get out there. Some of the people who were very close to him, like Bryant Gumbel and others on NBC who were reporters, took some heat because when he told them about it, he told them in confidence, and they did not tell anybody. So some of the brass at some of the networks went to those people and said, why didn't you tell us? They said, because it was personal. You don't discuss with people. You don't go broader with that.
But,
than,
you know what, yeah. to take, you know, find that light in the darkness, even though that it took him away from us, it did start the screening.
Yes, it did.
Okay, so that people were now being screened when they donated blood because it was such a new thing.
It started that. It also let people know that this was an illness that could strike anywhere. It had nothing to do with stereotypical mindsets.
Oh,
it had everything to do with something that could happen to anybody. And when it hit him, it changed the American perception of the illness. And then you had Magic Johnson come along. And now you've got, I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of medications people are taking now that all but eliminate it.
And they now have drugs to prevent it.
Yes, they do.
Okay, they have stuff. I mean, I do remember back in the 80s, this was the plague that was going to wipe us all out.
People thought that.
Dennis, I appreciate you coming in and sharing some stuff with me.
It's no problem, man. Wanted to make sure you know that things start at 11 o'clock this morning at the Virginia Museum of History and Culture at 428 North Arthur Ashe Boulevard. Starts at 11. That's the dedication. They'll change the name of the boulevard to Arthur Ashe Boulevard. That goes from 11 until 12:30. And then at 1 o'clock at the Arthur Ashe Athletic Center, which is further down on the other side of Broad Street, you're going to have a community gathering where they celebrate. And the city itself is buzzing. I couldn't help but be excited about what I saw, Richard.
All right, Dennis Edwards, thank you for coming in, to helping me out. This is The Home Show. WRVA. Welcome to The Home Show. I'm here every Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 till noon, taking your calls, questions, query, conundrums. Tell me what's going on in your world. Big thanks to Dennis Edwards for coming in there and giving me a little bit of an education. See, there's two things out there. There's stupidity and ignorance. Stupidity, you can't do anything about. Ignorance, you can. People have told me, use ignorance like it's a bad word. No, it just means lack of education. And all things considered, where I came from, let's face it. First, 5 years of my life, I lived in Cumberland. Okay, didn't even have a stoplight. From there, we moved to a place called Hague. Anybody heard of it? Bet you haven't, because it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's one of those towns where you're driving through and you go, oh, I missed Hague. So, I mean, we didn't have TV. We didn't watch the news. We were kids. We played outside. And so I didn't know about a lot of things. As you get older, you learn more. And so I thank Dennis for coming in here. And again, there's going to be a ton of stuff going on downtown near the boulevard. So people take that into account if you are running around the city today. 345-1140. See if I can't knock out a few more of these wonderful suggestions people sent to me last night. And again, follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. That way you can see what I'm going to be talking about, and you can add your suggestions to the mix. Let me see. Signs of a stroke. Did that one whole house. Do you mount? Richard, can you mount a mini split low? If you're only going to be using it for mostly heat, I'm going to say no. For those of you wondering what I'm talking about when I say a mini split, I'm sure you've seen them in restaurants. They've been in Europe and India for decades. And what it is, it's a mini heat pump. Itty bitty tiny little thing. And it works just like a heat pump. Heats and cools. And it goes up on the wall. Now, the upside is it uses almost no power. I think I've got a 15-amp double-pole breaker that runs my mini split. It is whisper quiet. You can sit, they like to say, you can sit underneath this thing and read a book. Yeah, you can. I'm not going to, but you can. But what this person is asking me is that if they want to use it for mostly heat, not for cooling. And they're thinking, well, heat rises, so if I put the thing put it low, won't that work better? The thing is, mini splits are designed to track you through the room, so they actually have to be up high on the wall. And it's forcing the hot air towards the cool spots in the room. So I'm going to say no. Joe in the East End.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
All right. You said you grew up in from Cumberland to Hague, Virginia, right?
We went from Cumberland to Hague.
Yeah, well, ain't nothing wrong. If it's the same Hague I'm thinking about down around Coles Point and Montrose, the good people out there.
It was forever ago. My father got a job. He was run out of Cumberland. Because he exposed a bad well for the local school. And so he got a job as plumbing foreman for the Copel School right there in Hague. And so, we'd see him only on weekends because he could go out there, work all week, and then come home. And, you know, that's like, a three-hour drive from Cumberland to Hague?
Every bit of it.
Every bit of it. But I do I have very, very fond memories of that area, mostly because my dad rented this house. And now, you know, when you're a little kid, everything seems huge. He rented this old house that my sister tells me is now a bait and tackle shop. It had 15-foot ceilings. And to a 5 year to a 5 year old Richard McCann, the place was like a cave. But to this day, I remember that house distinctly.
Oh, that is great. That whole place down there, everybody down there is so nice. I went down there ever since I was 4 or 5 years old. And my dad could have, by the time I was 6, he could put me out the car and tell me to walk on back to Henrico County. And I would find my way because I knew every curve, every corner to get back home. But down there at Coles Point and Ken Sale and all those people down there around the water, everybody's got a lot of respect for each other and very nice people.
They do. They do. And I'm heading to Warsaw later today. But I'm going to say this. Okay, because that's all the neck, the northern neck. And
exactly right.
There is no place to go to the bathroom in the northern neck.
Correct.
Nobody will let you use their bathroom unless you're like at a restaurant. But if you go to a gas station, they're like, no.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right.
All of them. They're like, no, you can't use the bathroom. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, the other thing I wanted to call you about, I heard you talking about Arthur Ashe and stuff. I'll be 67 next month.
Okay.
And I was growing up during that era. And when he won Wimbledon, I watched it and everything. And I thought that, you know, I had the greatest respect. And I learned more as history was going along. Because when you're a kid, you just kind of go with the flow and stuff. And, of course, we went through all the racial things back then. And people worried about burning up cities and all. I was a military man my whole career after I got old enough to get in the military, and so was my dad and stuff. And Richmond is unique when it comes to that. It wasn't a white or black issue thing or as much and all like that, but I was always felt bad about him being shunned from not being able to play tennis on the courts there on the boulevard. And then when they came up, they were going to put his statue up. And I don't remember all the ins and outs about it and stuff, and people were fussing. And I never had a problem with him putting his, you know, the statue, you know, his memorial thing on the monument. It never bothered me.
Joe, I got another caller coming in. I appreciate what you just said, but I got to pick up one more person before this show ends.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Joe. And who's on two? Barry. Yo. Barry?
Yes. Yeah, good morning.
What can I do for you on the home show?
I was just going to – this has nothing to do with that. I just wanted to make a point real quick. I went to Longwood College. It's Longwood University now in Farmville.
Uh-huh.
And this was back in the early 90s. And the for lack of a better term, the spirit of the college was known as civility. And they brought in Arthur Ashe to speak to us one night.
Really?
And he never said the first word about tennis, about Richmond, about anything. He spent 45 minutes and talked about civility. And then part of our assignment, I think this was for public speaking or English class or some, we had to write a one-page critique of it. And he was kind of like the moral foundation of civility, and that's what they brought him there to speak about.
Right now, Dennis Edwards is shaking his head like a bobblehead doll, agreeing with you. So
he never said anything about tennis, never said anything about having a hard life. All he talked about was civility, how to treat people, and how to be successful in life.
I wonder what he'd think of the internet now. Appreciate it, Barry.
Yeah.
All right, my friends, that's a lot. 345-1140, that's how you get through to the show. I'll be back here at 10 o'clock. Please follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. And don't forget to download the radio.com app. That way you can take the show wherever you go. And if you missed any part of it, don't worry. You can go to 1140wrva.com, click on my smirking face, and download podcasts of the show. There's enough on there that you'd be able to drive to the West Coast and back about 4 times. All right, Paul, let's get out of here. That is another home show in the can, burned to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Paul for getting up early and pressing all the right buttons. I want to thank Mr. Dennis Edwards for keeping that finger right on the pulse of the news. Everybody that called in, thank you so much. I will see you back here at 10 o'clock for the home show on News Radio WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.